I don't have to tell you tonight that the devil is alive and he is well. There has never been a time when the devil has not had on his mind you. He always has you on his mind. He is always trying to figure out some way to turn you away from God and me. Because he knows that if he can do that, that he can not only control your life here, but he will control your life in eternity. And that's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to be sober, to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, in telling the parable of the sower, Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, those by the waysides are the one who hear, then the devil comes. He comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, you know, we don't need to take the devil for granted. You know, some people think of him as just maybe an imaginary being who does not really exist. You know, a lot of people believe that God exists, but don't believe that the devil exists. Well, the fact is, there is not one without the other. You know, the atheists who don't believe in God also don't believe in the devil. So they have no reason to fear him in their own mind. We today, as children of God, have a need to fear the devil because he's always after us, and Peter is bringing this out here. So we need to be careful and be watchful so that we will not fall prey to the devil. You know, he is an active being. He is always looking. He is always trying to gain an advantage over us. You know, there are many things that the devil knows, and that's the title of the lesson tonight, The Devil Knows. He knows a lot. He is not some ignorant being who does not understand God and does not understand Christianity and does not understand us. He understands all of those things, probably in a better way than we do. That's why he is so effective in fighting against God and going against us. So what I want us to do tonight, I want us to take a look at a few things that the devil knows, that he understands, that we need to understand about him. First of all, the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But you know, the devil tempted Jesus three times in Matthew chapter 4. And a lot of people think, well, this was the devil's first attempt at getting at the Son of God. Well, this was a reunion for the devil in meeting with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You see, the devil had dealt with Jesus in the past, before the foundation of the world, the wars in heaven, when the devil was cast out of heaven. He lost that war to the Son of God. So this was, like I say, a more or less of a reunion for the devil as he come to tempt Jesus. Now, in the first two temptations, Jesus was asked to do something that no mere man could do. In verse 3, it says that the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. This would have been a miraculous act because no one here can turn bread and make bread from stones. In verse 5 and 6, there was the second of the three temptations was also something that we could not have done. It says the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge of you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now again, this is something that we could not do. We couldn't jump from the pinnacle of the temple and call down God's angels to save us. This would have been a miraculous feat. So these two temptations that Satan put against Jesus are things that we would not have been able to do. But number three is somewhat different. In verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 4, it says again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Is there anyone who the devil has not tempted with wealth and glory and things that they want in their lives, only to be fooled by the fact that it was false? We have all fallen for that at one time or the other. Jesus was faced with this temptation and did not give in to it, where we, at one time or the other, have. But the point of this is that if the devil could have gotten the Son of God to give in to him, he would have been the victor. He would have been the superior being in his own mind. And Christianity would have never happened, because it had to happen through the identity of the perfect being, which was indeed Jesus Christ. The devil knew who he was dealing with. He had already lost that spiritual war, so now he is going to attack the physical side of Jesus, which now he knows that he lost that battle as well. So the devil knows who the Son of God is. The devil also knows who every accountable child belongs to. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that each one of us sitting in this room, we know whether or not our lives are right with God. So does the devil. He knows already if he has you in his clutches. He knows that if he can come to you with something that you will walk away from God for, he knows that you will and what your weaknesses are. You know, John tells us that we can know that we are a child of God, and the devil will know that we are a child of God. In John 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The devil knows who the believers are, and he knows how to fight the believers, because he has done so time and time again. He also knows who his own children are. He knows if you are following God, and he knows if you are following him. You know, in Paul came across a child of the devil in Cyprus. We read of this in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. There was a false prophet by the name of Bar-Jesus who had called for Paul and Barnabas to come to him so that he could hear the word of God. Now, we are not told why he wanted to hear the word of God, perhaps to attack it, perhaps to slander it in some ways, or perhaps he was interested in the word of God in its truth. We don't know that part. But we can read beginning in verse 8 here, but Elymas, the sorcerer, as it has been translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Paul looked at this man and realized he is a worker for the devil and called him the son of the devil. The devil knew him. The devil knew the people that he was talking to. He knows us. He knows if we belong to him or if we belong to God. The devil also knows. Let me back up. The devil also knows that most people on this earth have already been secured by him. First, we have the unrighteous people. Unrighteous people belong to the devil. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. In other words, they're well known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brethren. So we know that unrighteousness means I belong to the devil. Those who do not know God are those who do not obey God. We read of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. Paul writes here and says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And the devil knows if you are one of these. He understands whether you are lost or whether you are saved in the condition that you are in right now. The devil also knows some things that we don't know. The devil knows that there are a lot of people who do not realize some things about him. Most people don't realize that the devil is powerful. You know, we like to think, well, you know, the devil was defeated in the wars of heaven and he was cast out of heaven. And we don't think of him as being a powerful enemy, but he is indeed a powerful enemy. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses of sin. Now he's talking to Christians here who at one time belonged to the devil. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, in the spirit of who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul is saying, you used to be a child of the devil. You used to belong to him. And it is a horrible thing to have that label put on you that you belong to the devil. And then Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the host of wickedness in heavenly places. And you know, most people don't realize that the devil has this kind of power. The devil also, or we also sometimes don't realize that he is very subtle and that he knows exactly how to deceive us. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we can see how he dealt with Eve, and then later on through Eve he dealt with Adam. And he did so with the craftiness of a snake. Paul made reference to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. He said, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The devil knows how to come to you and to show you something, to tell you something that is going to cause you to turn your head away from God and away from his Son. Because he is crafty. He is subtle. He can make you look at something that is evil and think that it is beautiful and think that it is good. And then some people don't realize, many people don't realize, that the devil is the father of lies. He lied to Eve. He lies to you and me. He is the father of lies. Jesus, when he was speaking to the Jews in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He would rather lie to you than tell you the truth. You know, I know some people that way. You may know some people that way who would rather tell you a lie than to tell you the truth. Well, I guess he is of the devil that would do that. Because the devil would much rather tell you a lie and turn you away from God than to tell you the truth. Most people don't realize that he is very deceitful, that he is the master of disguises. You know, Paul gives this image of the devil in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. He says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." This is how powerful he is. He can transform himself into something that looks good to you. Something that you would feel like you need, something you want. He can make himself look good. He can make himself look beautiful. He is the master of disguises. And then, most people don't realize simply that he is wicked. You see, Satan knows that he can be successful because he knows how he really is. And how he is exactly how he needs to be to pull you and I away from God. Because he has already done it to all of us at one time or the other. He is wicked. John referred to the devil as the wicked one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." And this tells you and me, we can overcome him. We can walk away from him. We can tell him no. We can send him on his way, just like Jesus did. But he's wicked. And he will do everything that he can to turn you away from God. Another thing the devil knows, he knows that he needs to concentrate his efforts on those who are in the kingdom, in the church, you and I, as Christians. Because he will try every way that he possibly can to get the Christian to sin and to practice sin in any way that he can get them to practice it. John tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 8, "For he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now he destroyed the works of the devil in heaven. He destroyed the works of the devil on earth with his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. We are going to win the victory. Because you and I tonight, as children of God, we have victory over the death that Satan is trying to get us to have. And we have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. He came so that we might overcome death. But he will still try to get the sinner or the Christian to sin. Because the sinning Christian will not have life. He will have death. He will try to get the Christian to procrastinate. Now, what that word simply means is to put off doing that which is right. Or to put off making your life right. To disregard God and to rebel against God and against his word. And again, I refer you to the story of the parable in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. And go back to the wayside hearers. They are the ones who hear, but then the devil comes in and takes away the word of the Lord so that he will not understand it, so that he will not know how to deal with God. And the devil will do that. He will also disguise himself as someone who is friendly, as someone who is loving, as someone who is helpful. The devil will try to gain your trust, try to gain your confidence, and at the same time, just very quietly and very gently eat away at your faith. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. He will try to get the Christian to become discouragers instead of an encourager. He will try to get Christians to become divisive and to become negative. He will cause the Christian to whine and to complain about anything and about everything. He will entice them to use idle words, hurtful words. He will entice them to use gossiping words, because he knows that this will lead to the undoing of the Christian. Paul warns us of this, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you're divisive, when you're negative, when you're idle, when idle words, when you gossip, that you are destroying not only yourself, but possibly those who you are talking to? And the devil uses these tools against you in every way that he can. Now, there's another thing that he knows. He knows that he has lost the battle if your Christianity is genuine. He knows that he has lost those who will study God's word. You know, knowledge is the greatest enemy of ignorance. Knowledge is the greatest enemy of wrongdoing. And that's why we hear Paul tell us through his writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I think it's interesting that the King James Version of the Bible is the only version that uses the word study in this verse. Study, it says, to show yourselves approved. Other versions of the Bible, more modern versions of the Bible, like to use be diligent. Do your best. Be eager. Work hard. And these are all very fine thoughts. And we do need to do these things, but they are useless unless study takes place, that you gain the knowledge that you need to be diligent and to do your best. You know, the denominational world, they have diligence. They do their best. They are eager. And they work hard. But not according to knowledge and truth. And the only way that you'll ever get these things is through study and understanding of God's word. Study is the key to show yourself approved to God. And the devil knows that. And he knows that he has lost the battle of those who will open up that book and study. He knows that he has lost the battle of those who will practice what they have learned, that they will practice righteousness. You know, practicing righteousness means a couple of things. It means, first of all, that you're willing to live a sacrificial life to your Lord. Paul tells us this, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Practicing righteousness also means that it is going to come from the heart. Now, you've heard me say this many times. You've heard many ministers say this many times, that Christianity begins with the heart. If the heart is not there, your Christianity will not be there as well. Paul talks of those hearts who were in the right place in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He said, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And you can bet your bottom dollar the devil knows if you are righteous to God or not. He knows how hard he is going to have to work to get you to become unrighteous to God. He also knows that he has lost the battle with those who will actually fight against him. You know, there are so many people who call their names Christians who will not fight for their Christianity. You know, from Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 6, the devil knows that God has given us his armor. And if we will use his armor, then it's a battle the devil cannot win. He knows if we have our loins girded with truth. He knows if we have put on the breastplate of righteousness. He knows if we walk with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He knows if we have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The devil already knows how you stand with God and your armor. He also knows how well you use that armor. Or if you don't use that armor, he knows that as well. And he knows that because we have these things, that he cannot win the battle against us. Oh, he will cause us to stumble. He will cause us to fall. But with the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, and definitely with the word of God, we can bounce back. God will forgive and let us continue on. The devil knows all of these things. So what it all comes down to is this. The devil knows who Jesus is. He's already lost that battle. He knows that we are accountable people. And he knows whether or not we as accountable people will follow God or whether or not we are following him. He relishes the fact that he already has the majority of the world in his clutches. And he knows that so many times we don't really realize just how powerful he really is. He knows that we are aware that he's going to come after us. And he also knows how prepared we are when he does. And he knows that if we will put on that armor of God, if we will fight him, he knows that he will lose the battle. My question for you tonight is simply this. Do you know where you stand with the devil? If the devil is looking at you right now, squarely in the eyes, will he be smiling? Or will he have that worried look on his face because he knows that you belong to God? Tonight, my friends, if you are not a Christian, he has you right where he wants you because you're not really giving God much thought at all. And if he can keep that in your mind, he knows that he will have you for all eternity. If you are an unfaithful Christian, again, he has you right where he wants you. You don't mind sinning from time to time. You don't mind going to the world for the pleasures of sin and walking away from God. And he has you right where he wants you. And if this be true in either state, my friend, you need to change that tonight. You need to give your life to the Lord. Or give it back to the Lord. Don't let the devil win his battle with you. Stand firm, stand fast with God, and he will stand fast with you. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we sing this song.